Episode 4 of the Redockables with Duck and Oz of the Purple Rain. Oz, how are you going?
Baby, it's good to see your face.
Yeah, mate. Well, after the string of limited cases in Western Australia, mate, we've decided to reach out, not touch each other, but just reach out and head back to your house, mate. I know that you live a pretty clean life, so we're here. I'm at your place.
Yeah.
We're in the same room together, mate. You've added a desktop, which is quite interesting. I've got a 1999 footy record. I've added a computer as well, mate.
So I'm
getting into the 21st century, mate. I've got my notepad still. I've got my computer, mate. Oz, how have you been? You been well, mate?
Yeah, look, fantastic to see restrictions being lifted. And, you know, one of those things is, I guess, sharing moments with friends and stuff, and I thought to celebrate, Duck, I've made you the old Surfside Corona Rita.
Yeah, mate, some weird blue drink. It's got a bit about it as well.
Yeah, it has. Give it a burl. I picked it up from Bubba Gump's from the US last time I was over there.
Okay.
Shout out, Simo, how you going? So, yeah, look, really excited about that, Duck. It's great to have you here. I think there's more energy about it. That's what I'm excited about today, mate. So let's get around it. Let's do it.
Well, mate, look, the game that we're, and guys, once again, if you haven't watched this game yet, stop the podcast and go back onto YouTube and just type in 1999 Fremantle versus West Coast Eagles. It's our first derby win. It was on the 18th of July 1999 in front of 36,763 people at Subiaco. Obviously, Subiaco getting renovated. Fremantle Dockers 17-17, 119, defeating the West Coast Eagles 11-6-72 by 47 points. And what a, mate. Oz, I find it quite interesting. Do you remember where you were when the Dockers beat the Eagles?
Yes.
Where were you, mate?
I was at my parents' place watching this game live.
Yeah. I remember.
Well, actually, no. I don't know if it was delayed because I was at home. I'm not sure if it was delayed. But it
may have been a classic delayed sport, mate. Yeah. Nothing better than delayed sport.
Where were you?
We were in Albany. I was trying to reminisce of why we would have been in Albany because I was in year six at the time in 99, I think. Year six, year seven, maybe. And, yeah, we're down in Albany. I vividly remember being in the parking lot at this supermarket that was out to the northeast of Albany, out on Chester Pass Road. And if anyone remembers what that was called, it was like an IGA, but it was like a independent supermarket kind of thing.
Yep.
And, yeah, I remember being in the car. I remember my old man I'm pretty sure he did this where he rang up my cousins after the game or when we got back to town. I was like, oh, yeah, Damien Drum here. Just wondering, I wasn't at the game today. Just wondering what the result was. I wasn't able to make it in. And they're like, yeah, because like all my cousins were mad Eagles fans. But, yeah, man, it was quite amazing because if you look at it, at that stage, the Dockers are 4-11
yep.
and the Eagles are 11-4 on top of the table.
Yep.
And the Dockers are towards the bottom end of the table.
Yep.
You know, so quite an amazing win, to be honest. Like, when you look at the team that the Eagles have as well, the amount of guys they've had that are... And this is essentially the end of the Eagles dynasty that they won the two flags
yeah.
with. You're looking at guys like Guy McKenna, Kemp, Mainwaring's playing his 200th and actually gets benched for a long period of time because he stinks. Matera, Djakovic, McIntosh... Banfield's playing for them, White, Ball, you know, and then you see their next wave coming through with Cousins. But this isn't the West Coast
No, it's not,
podcast, mate.
It's about,
this is all about the Dockers, so let's get into the GBU, will we?
Oh, okay, let me just fade this one out here. All right, good. Let's get into the GBU here, mate. Oh, wait, there we go.
Nice, mate. You're still going off the colours, mate?
Still going off the colours.
Guys, you should see the setup. So we've got the new fancy board. And we've just got colours, so Oz has to know the colour to press for the sound effect. But, look, guys, like I said, the Dockers 17-17, 119, defeating West Coast Eagles 11-6, 72. The first derby win for the Dockers in 1999. Mate, for a start, first quarter, we give up the first three goals and I'm like, oh my God. Like, because I'd never actually watched this game. So I'm thinking, oh God, what the hell are we doing? Like, I was like, I'm pretty sure we flog them. What the hell's going on? We proceed to kick 7-5 goals in about, I think it's about 3/4 of a quarter. It's just like, bang. And it's 7-5 as well. It's not like, oh, we kick 7. Like, we just kept on kicking goals. And it was just like, out of the centre goal, out of the centre goal, out of the centre goal. Adrian Fletcher had 12 touches in the first quarter. Norris, 12 touches. Callahan, 9. They were all huge in the first quarter and really stepped up. Mate, just into some individual performances. Mate, Fletcher, he was so good.
Oh, mate.
And of the games we've watched so far, I know Ben Allen was pretty elite in the midfield in that first game, and Wilsey had a pretty solid... But Fletcher is the first elite midfielder that we've seen. It doesn't make much sense that he'd been on so many teams, and that's a quiz question coming up. But, mate, Fletcher... And I went back and had a look at his stats. He wasn't a mug that just, like, oh, came over to WA and, you know, he's on his... X amount of teams, and you know, but he was a solid player, mate. And he ended up with 39 disposals, 10 clearances. Mate, I think he was awarded the Ross Glendening Allen medal that they did retrospectively for this game. And mate, you can see if you watch the game, he's like outstanding. He is so much better than anyone else on the field.
Yep.
And it's like no one can tackle him. He's running around and no one goes near him for some unknown reason. Yeah. His ball skills are elite. Like, he's not the fastest player, but he had a good mark, smart, hit targets. Mate, what we wouldn't pay to have someone like him on our team.
Yeah, mate. And he was 29 at the time.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame that obviously he was at the tail end of his career. But gee whiz, he was just pinpoint accurate.
Well, mate, I know he was getting on, but look at this. So he goes second in 98 when we pick him up in the Doig. First in 99, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, how much better he was than anyone else. Fifth in 2000, and then 10th in 2001, and we delist him. Now, in my opinion, I know you have progression stoppers and rah-de-rah-rah, but if a guy is finishing in your top 10 of your fairest and best, you probably shouldn't delist him. Firmative. You know, he went on to play a few more games in the VFL and actually won best on ground in the grand final in 2013, I believe. So, you know, he was a solid player still, you know, but no one else picked him up. So does that, you know, but we weren't great. So, you know, maybe someone to show Hayes and, you know, you hear Waterhouse talking about him. He goes, you know, when Fletcher came to the club and you knew if you led, he would hit you on the tit. Whereas, you know, Shawnee Mack, it could go anywhere. Like, you're just guessing. You might as well just, you know, run, close your eyes and keep running. Which I love that by Clive. Mate, Norris as well, elite through the middle. He had 32 disposals and 7 clearances. Mate, the thing that I love, and I know you want to talk about this guy as well, but Clem Michael to Norris was just elite, mate. Boy. And there's a couple of times where they could have nearly kicked goals where Michael's just tapping it straight down. And, you know, Michael in the end had 15 disposals, 23 hitouts. And, you know, in my opinion, Oz, from what we've seen, he was a better ruckman than White and Burton.
Correct.
And we're pretty blessed to have three pretty good ruckmen.
Correct.
In the first couple of years of our existence. Yep. But, you know, you could see Clem Michael was just better than both of them, mate. And it must be super frustrating as he was one of your favourite players, mate, if not your favourite.
He was at the time. He was 23. And he ended up playing, you know, 21 games.
Yeah.
And in 2000, it was his last year at the club, and he had 20 games.
And then he's obviously, now he's just gone.
Yeah. And you see it here. I mean, where is it here? Let me pull up his stats. Like, he's hit out, 23 hit outs, and he had plus 20 hit outs in over 7 or so of his games that he played.
Yeah.
And he was still only developing as a ruckman.
Yeah.
But he... You know what kind of reminded me about the footage that I've seen about his old man was he was so clean by hand and he just understood the game.
Yeah.
So he was able to read it. And a couple of times during the game where he's done these 50-meter handballs, mate.
Oh, my God. But the thing is as well, if you look at him and if he potentially, you know, plays 200 games for the club. In 06, you're thinking... Well, you know, him in the ruck rather than maybe Troy Simmons, you know, he can help Sandilands develop. Sandilands still has a similar career because they wouldn't overlap as much, but you maybe think that the doldrums weren't as bad, mate. I thought Weirer played really well as the defensive forward. Wearing the number 29, I know we've got a question about that a bit later on, but he kicked 3 goals, 3, And he played really well on Wirrpondi. So I thought he had did a pretty good lockdown role. And I know in my book here I've got, guys. So I went down home to the farm this weekend, and I managed to pick up the 1999 AFL Grand Final record. And it's got each club, they review each club. And for the Dockers, for the coach, it said that how much Damien Drum was a tactical genius, mate. What do you say? It says here, Drum. Damien Drum has the benefit of a year in the top job after showing he's a shrewd tactician when the assistant to Rodney Ead. So he must have been the tactician, but I don't know if that was 100% correct.
Pretty sure they were pretty keen to get rid of him in Sydney. Mm. I could tell you that he was certainly, from what I hear, that he was the first at training, the last to leave. You know, he's very accurate with his training sessions, you know, knew what he wanted, but...
And he's currently the Labor Party whip for the state of Victoria, Labor Party. Mate, how about this? What's his winning record? 24%. But against West Coast, what did he go?
Was it 5-11? 5-11, I think it was, mate.
2-3 against West Coast. Is that right? That can't be right. Yeah. No. Overall, once he'd finished, he only won 13 games, and he ended up losing 40.
Yeah. Right.
So he went. 2-3 against West Coast, and some of those games as well, he only just lost to West Coast. So, look, you know, it's pretty unfortunate, old Drummy, but he wasn't the best.
When are we going to get to talk about my man?
Are you talking about Mods?
Oh, yeah.
Mods, that's next, mate. 6-2. Now, Oz, can I ask you this question?
Yep.
Is Modra banging on the ground after he kicks the goal? Where does that rank for you amongst iconic Dockers moments?
Okay. I'm glad you asked this question, Duck, because you said, you know, where were you and stuff. I think of this game as essentially a beacon of light, hope for Freo fans. There's possibly light at the end of the tunnel that potentially we're ending the era of mediocrity. We're entering, you know, hopefully a period of greatness, and finals was just around the corner. And I look back to the moment where he smacks the ground out of a freakish snap from a dead pocket for a right footer.
Mm.
And he's dobbed it and he's smacking the ground. I'm like, this is it. Yeah. This is the coming, you know. And I look back at that moment and it would have to be for me in a top three moments. Top three.
Top three? Have you got the other two on top of your head?
The Stephen Hill
run. Yep.
And probably the Pavlich soccer off the ground.
Nice. I think, yeah, if you think about things like Wilsey's soccer against North Melbourne, I think about things like, you know, even though we're going to talk about this next week, but Dale Kickett just going mental. I think that's iconic. And the Demolition Derby. I'm thinking...
Oh, we're doing that next week?
Yeah, we got Demolition Derby next week, guys. So, yeah, strap in for that. And then I think Justin Longmuir jumping into the crowd.
Oh, I forgot after St. about Kilda. That.
Yeah.
Because I was so there like, for that.
But if I think about these, I think it actually goes Stephen Hill.
Yep.
And then it goes Modra banging on the ground.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and that's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, man, that's such an iconic moment in my mind, that him banging on the ground, McIntosh all over his back.
Yep.
That he's kicked an impossible goal. The Dockers are absolutely flying at that time, you know? Like, it's...
I mean, he's at the time, he's 30.
Yeah.
And basically his knees are buggered, so he only plays the few seasons or whatever. But if you think about it, if we could have managed to string another year or so out of Mods, that, you know, that hill, like we were at the plateau, like there was potential, like it was here we go. But, you know, he just showed how good he was.
Yeah. Well, mate, he goes 71 goals in his first season, 50 in his second season. And then he plays 11 games in the last season and only kicks 27 goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's it, isn't it? If it kept just around it. But like you said, he was getting older. He's getting a bit long in the tooth at the time. You know, he debuted when he was 23.
Yeah.
So, like, very, very interesting stuff. But, mate, Mods, insane. Second season, he kicked 129 goals.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I had to double take that. I'm looking at the stats going, hang on. Second season, Tony Modra kicks 129 goals for the Adelaide Crows. Mate. Then I thought, is he 19? No, he wasn't. He debuted later on.
Yeah.
So back then, obviously, they're developing him a bit later on or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Oh, God, I tell you, mate. What a team.
Mate, just some other quick ones. Brodie Holland and Heath Black, I thought they were pretty solid, and it's actually a little bit disappointing when you look at how solid they were that they would leave the club within a couple of years. And also Greg Harding, who was very solid, but I didn't want to talk much about his game. I want to talk about the eliteness of his long sleeve. That long sleeve is the most elite thing. The long sleeve, tucked in as well, I believe.
Yeah,
doesn't play in the first quarter, doesn't really get on the field because he's interchange, and then manages to have a really solid game. So, look, I just thought that was elite, mate. Just into some bad, and I know you've got some bad odds because you've done a bit of a deep dive.
Yeah.
But, mate, I don't understand how this team is 4-11 at this stage. Yeah. Like, I don't get it, and we'll talk about that a bit later on. But essentially, we went 0-6 in our first six, and then we actually go 0-6 in our last six. So we lose our last six games after this. Clement, you know, made a few mistakes and got a bit fired up, and we'll talk about him. But, mate, you want to go into a little bit of a deep dive into some injuries, mate, and what you've done.
Yeah, look, certainly for me, another bad was the arrogance of the West Coast Eagles. You know, their supporter base really hasn't changed, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, they expect to win. They demand to win. They get upset when they don't. Now, the actual bad was Oz in the third person looking into the Waterhouse decline, because I'm like, why? No, Waterhouse looks so good. Like, and I couldn't remember from the top of my head. I had to do a bit of a deep dive. Now, why did Waterhouse decline? What happened? And then I went into the deep dive of just general injuries. Mm. And I've turned the Waterhouse decline, which was an injured collarbone in the 2001 preseason versus Geelong. And then he had repeated hamstring injuries. Yep. Hey, that's my 2-year-old there. Good times. So he had repeated hamstring injuries, restrict him to six games, 2001, and then in 2002 he had an ACL.
Yeah.
And then we see the decline. But then I've gone, right, well, what if, Duck, I put together a 22 where injury played a significant part either of the beginning of their career, either as they were entering their prime, or possibly robbing us of their best years.
Yes.
Now, taking into consideration that there are a couple of reaches here, Duck, but I'm just going to throw them out here. So this is my if only starting 22.
Ooh.
Going to start, and this is timeline affected, so it's chronological, if you will.
Okay.
Starting with Todd Ridley, 1995. Injuries hampered his run at Freo right at the end because he was a bit older.
Yeah.
So, you know, struggling a little bit. But he looked very good in that 95 season. Then he just disappears from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And then he kind of goes back to Claremont, I believe, and,
yep.
you know, kick, you know, kicks, ends up getting the Simpson medal, I think.
Yeah,
I think,
96, memory. Simpson 96, medal, yep.
Yeah, there you go. One of your favourites, mate, but Shawnee Mack's ACL injury in 97 and 98. Now, before the 97 knee injury, he's actually decent.
Yeah.
He's got pace.
Yep.
And as he proved here, he actually dobbed a goal on his left foot snap.
Unbelievable.
So I think if he doesn't do his knee in 97 and again in 98, what could have been there? Interesting. So
yeah, very
two.
Interesting.
Obviously, my man Clem Michael, pour your drinks out, because he did his PCL in 2000 and then played through the entire season, and then that we know what happens after that. But what could have been there?
Yeah,
definitely. Winston Abraham didn't do his ACL with us, but it ended his career in 2001 when he was at the Kangaroos. Now, I'm sure you would have, and hopefully I'm not cutting your grass here, mate, but right at the end of that season, we actually see two former Dockers play in a grand final and win a premiership in Winnie Abraham and Peter Bell.
Yep.
Peter Bell, I think, got 39 disposals or something ridiculous. Was it 39? No, it wasn't. It was 31. Sorry, 31. 39? Sorry, 31 disposals and 4 goals. Mm. And Winnie Abraham kicked 2 goals. But
listen, mate, game number 100 at the grand final day for Peter Bell.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Great giveaway, that one. Mm. I've got Luke Webster, knee reconstruction in 2002, then 2003. He's done both knees, Duck. Not the one, but he's done both knees. He was captain of the State 18s team, looked very good.
Yeah.
Then he did his knee, and then he ended up playing for East Perth, and, you know, he performed quite well. But just
Solid. And you look at the 2003 final.
Yeah.
The first one. Was it 2003, the first final we played in?
Against Essendon. Yeah.
Mate,
he stood up.
He's probably one of our best, and he's playing in what, his third or fourth game? Not even that.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was
good,
unbelievable.
Good TCL boy as well. Clive Waterhouse did his ACL in 2002.
Yeah.
Andrew Brown was a highly touted youngster who had serious injuries from basically 2005 onwards, Doug.
Yep, hamstrings.
Hamstrings. Robbie Hadrill was riddled with ankle, knee, and hamstring injuries between 2005 and 2007.
Yep, Hadrill loved him as a fullback, mate.
Justin Longmire, 2007, degenerative knee injury.
Yep.
Tim Ruffles, 2009, does his knee, kicks a goal, does his knee in the dying stages of the Derby. And then at the end of the 2010 season, when we're playing Port, I believe, and we're resting players, I don't know what was happening there, but he ends up doing his knee at the death or something, or during the game.
Oh, really?
So he ends up doing both knees.
Jesus.
Then Michael Barlow, broken leg in 2010 when he would have won a Brownlow, hands down.
Yep.
Anthony Morabito did the first of three ACL injuries in 2010, December of 2010, after a stellar 2010 season. And I still remember being in Singapore. I was staying at the Novotel, and I remember getting the injury thinking, holy... No, actually, I wasn't at the Novotel. I was at the... I think it was at the Hyatt. Anyway, long story short, I remember almost crying, thinking, hopefully, this guy comes back. But... He didn't.
He never did.
Now, Roger Hayden had a long-term foot injury and he retired in 2011, but had potential to go on another few years if he wasn't injured.
Elite back pocket.
And was All-Australian, I believe, the year before. I think it was 2010.
Never All-Australian, mate.
I thought he was All-Australian.
Never All-Australian.
He should have been, mate. No. He should have been. Lukey Luke McFarlane, 2013 and 14, right when we're at our peak, he had Achilles and calf problems.
Yep.
Now, that... Admittedly, age, attrition.
He's old. Yeah.
We get that. But still, calf injuries, would have been nice, you know, if we had have had the Luke McFarlane without the age issues there. The Aptness did his PCL in 2015 and then had ongoing issues. Matty Tabner had foot and leg injuries
in his
time. Obviously, Alex Pierce from 2016 breaks his leg, breaks it again. Harley Bennell, just full stop, 2016 through 2019. And look, I'm throwing in because recently he's done his knee, but I'm not sure how he will go. Hopefully he'll come back stronger as Stefan Gyro 2019. Mm. That's my what if to starting 22 there, Duck. What do you think?
I think you could probably chuck in a couple more, mate.
You go.
Paul Maher and Luke Toya, who both did their
Luke
knees
Toya.
In the same day.
Luke Toya.
Who were both very good players or solid players, and Luke Toya in particular did his knee. I think that if you look at a guy like Jaden Pitt, first round draft pick, heart issues. I think as well, Harley Balick.
Yes.
With his injury problems that he had.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. I really rated Harley Balick. I don't know what he's even doing nowadays, but he's not playing for Melbourne. I even put money with my mate that he'd finish in the top 10 of their fairest and best. That's how much I rated him. I was like, Harley Balick is a gun. I think if you think about Fife's broken legs, mate, I think if you think about, you know, when they occurred as well. Yeah, I just think you've nailed it pretty much that we've had a lot of good players that broke down because of injury, and it actually happened. Risty Palmer, mate. Reece Palmer does his knee. Like you said, Barlow breaks his leg. You know, and those guys actually digressed after their injuries as well. Regressed. And that's it's a little bit disappointing, man, because that's what happens, isn't it? But injuries play a part in... But it seems like every time we have maybe two or three promising youngsters, one of them becomes injury prone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little bit disappointing. And, you know, there's a couple of guys on the list at the moment, Valente with his groins.
Yeah.
You know, not to hopefully touch wood, he turns out all right. You know, but, and, you know, you look at Aptness, you look at Pierce, like you said, you know, a lot of guys that could have been something, and first round, second round draft picks that have ended up just being injury prone, unfortunately, you know, and Tabernar as well keeps breaking down, you know, so hopefully, even the big Hoags, mate, with his mental health stuff, you know.
Yeah, that was an asterisk for me. I didn't put him down for that. Well,
news is he's going to be back and about once we start off, mate.
Well, mate, I hope so. Because, like I said, this could be the most dockery-docker of seasons.
Mm.
And if we win the premiership, we're getting tats.
Speaking of dockery, the last quarter, we should have won by about 15 goals. Kicked 3-7 in the absolute pouring rain. I've always got to give a little Shawnee Mack note in here. Shawnee Mack takes a great mark and then hand passes it straight into the man on the mark, but luckily it gets called back. So, classic Shawnee Mack. And Clive missed one from about 10 metres out. So, that was quite all funny. The Brownlow votes, mate. Obviously, Fletcher got 3, Norrish 2, and Clem Michael 1, which was pretty fitting. Those three guys get it. Oz, now on to the quiz.
Go, mate. Now, question quickly before I do that.
Yeah.
Did we see this particular game and this year as being The rise of the ponytail.
Oh, a lot of ponytails.
In vogue.
What do we have? Shaunie Mack, Jason Norris,
yep.
Trent Carroll.
Yes.
Had the ponytail.
Polak came in with a ponytail.
Oh, yeah. No doubt Jess Sinclair and Paul Maher would have had a ponytail.
Yeah.
They've got some long hair. But yeah, a lot of ponytail chat. A lot of ponytail stuff going on, mate, which the different hairdos are always pretty funny, mate. But let's get on to this quiz. First question, guys. Now, remember, this is all about the game at the time. So if you find a mistake as well, make sure you hit us up. We've got 10 questions this time because we've skipped ahead a little bit. So question number one was, who is the youngest player in the team for the Dockers? Who is the youngest player in the team for the Dockers? Youngest by age.
Question two, who was the oldest player in the team? The oldest player in the Freo team.
Okay. Question number three, who had played the most games for Freo at the time? Which Docker had played the most games for Freo at the time of this game? Which Docker?
Question four, who had played the most AFL games for Freo? The most AFL
Not necessarily games. For Freo, Oz. There's a little hint for you. So AFL games at that stage? And cool. He was playing for the Dockers, obviously.
I love butchering a question.
That's all right, mate. I didn't really write out. Who had kicked the most goals for Freo at that stage? Who'd kicked the most goals? Which player?
Question six, how many Dockers on the team only played for the Dockers?
This is one of my favourites, because I looked through it, I'm like, he didn't. So there's a lot. Bonus points if you can name who they are. Question number seven. How many players in the game played for both the Dockers and the Eagles?
Oh,
bonus points.
I love this question because I was like, oh, here we go. Look at this. Good question. Question eight. Collectively, how many teams did Dale Kickett and Adrian Fletcher play for? Both Dale Kickett and Adrian Fletcher, how many teams did they play for?
Fantastic. Which player played in his milestone match during the game? They mention it. Obviously for the Dockers, not for the Eagles, because we know Chris Mainwaring played his 200th game and got benched. But which player for the Dockers played in the milestone match?
And the last question here, Duck, is which Docker had the best winning percentage at the time? And this is a tricky one.
Very interesting. And I thought, this guy, underrated. You know, winning percentage is probably pretty important. So we'll see. All right, guys, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the answers, the 99 season, and we've got Oz's music quiz. Welcome back to episode 4 of the Redocker Bulls. We're looking at the first derby win by the Dockers in 1999, round 16. Redocker Bulls. Now, Oz, we've forgotten to do two things. We forgot to do our best 22 combined. We also forgot to read out the teams, but that's all right. We'll skip over that.
Yep. I'll quickly do the 22 because I've got it here. Done my research. Okay, so we had Daniel Bandy, Heath Black, Chris Bond, Craig Callahan, Trent Carroll, James Clement, Adrian Fletcher, Mark Gale, Greg Harding, Brody Holland, Dale Kickett, Shaunie Mack, Clem Michael, Tony Modra, Jason Norris, Stephen O'Reilly, Shane Parker, Ashley Prescott, Garth Taylor, Clive Waterhouse, Andrew Wills, Brad Weirer, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Fantastic, mate. All right, let's go into our mixed best 22, Oz. Have you got yours down there?
I do, mate.
You do? Fantastic.
Oh, this is the one.
Oh, all right. So inspired by Bahundi's Williams' question of about four episodes ago now, what would be the best 22 mixed? Look, my back line, mate, I've got Parker. Mate, I found a really soft spot for Parker.
Yeah.
Parker, Hamling and Ryan. And Kickett, Pearce and Black. Who are your back six?
Okay, I've got O'Reilly, Pearce and Hamling, Wilson, Kickett, and I've thrown in Bandy.
Bandy in the back line. Mate, across my centre line, I've got Norris, Fletcher and Hill.
Oh, close. I've got Hill, Norris and Wills.
Oh, nice. My forward line is Weirer to play as the defensive half forward, Lob, Clive, Sonny, Modra, and Mundy.
Oof. I've got Walters, Fife, Waterhouse, and then I've got Modra, Lob, and Sturt.
Mate, you keep playing Fife at centre forward.
I know. Intense.
And in the ruck line, I've got Clem Michael, Fife, and Brayshaw.
Yeah, Clem Michael, Mundy, and Callahan for me.
Oh, on my bench, Callahan, Sturt, Holland, and Wilson.
Fletcher's extremely unlucky not to be starting, and mate, he really should
that?
Be, mate.
How's that?
But Fletcher, Brayshaw, McManus, and Clement.
No Shaunie Mack for me. Anyway, mate, let's go on to the answers. To the questions. Question number one was, who was the youngest player on the team? That was Garth Taylor at 19 years and 8 days. So quite young.
Beautiful. Who was the oldest player on the team? That was Dale Kickett at 31 years and 75 days.
Who'd played the most games for Freo at that time? That was also Dale Kickett with 96 games.
Question four, who had played the most AFL games? That was Adrian Fletcher with 184 games.
Question number five, who'd kicked the most goals for Freo? That was Clive Waterhouse with 88 goals.
Question number six, how many Dockers on the team only played for the Dockers? There was five. So we've got Shane Parker, Clive Waterhouse, Shawnee McManus, Clem Michael, and Garth Taylor.
Fantastic. And question seven, how many players played for both Dockers and Eagles? There was five, and I forgot about Kickett, but Kickett, Carroll, Harding, Metropolis, and Fuster all played for both teams.
Yes, good call. Question eight, collectively, how many teams did Dale Kickett and Adrian Fletcher play for? Seven in total. So they include Fitzroy, West Coast, St Kilda, Essendon, Geelong, Brisbane, and Freo.
And of course, they both played for St Kilda, which was quite interesting. And obviously, I mean, Brisbane, people might say, oh, Brisbane Bears and Brisbane Lions. Fitzroy, Brisbane Lions, yep. Doesn't matter. Yeah, all on. Included come this on. One. Who had a milestone match? It was Jason Chuck Norrish was playing his 100th game.
With a great haircut too. And number 10, which Docker had the best winning percentage at the time? That would be D. Bandy, 41.67%.
Ooh, Bandy, fantastic. All right, mate, let's get into the 99 season, mate. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph from the clubs in review from the 99 grand final, what's this called, record. Okay, it was the club's worst season since joining the competition in 1995. It started and ended with a six-game losing runs, yet at times they showed that it can play a brand of football that deflates the leaders. It managed to beat St Kilda and West Coast in successive games. It was an initiation from hell for new coach Damien Drum in his first season at senior level. One of the defeats, a 114-point loss against the Brisbane Lions, was soul-destroying. The only positives, Adrian Fletcher and Tony Modra and Clive Waterhouse and Andrew Shipp. Got a rising star. So, mate, just to let you guys know, we finished 15th, 5-17, our worst season since we started. It would get worse. Like I said, 0-6 in the first six and 0-6 in the last six. We used 38 players, mate. The Doig, Fletcher came first. He got double the amount of votes that Modra got, who came second. So Modra got 60 votes and Fletcher got 128. Bandy, Kickett, Waterhouse, Parker, Black, Prescott, Clement, and Michael. So, yeah, that rounded out the top 10. Rising star was Shipp in round 15 against St Kilda. Best clubman for the first time ever, Ashley Prescott, who actually played in this game and I did not notice him whatsoever. He got about two touches. The Beacon Award, Clem Michael. Leading goal kicker, Tony Modra, mate. Here's some stats for you, okay? Leading kick winner, Fletcher, 299. Leading hand pass winner, Fletcher, 283. Leading tackler, Fletcher, 38. Leading inside 50s, Fletcher, 80. Leading Brownlow votes, Fletcher, 15. Leading marks, Bandy, 125. And leading rebound 50s, Clement, 87. And I believe Clement may get traded out at the end of this season.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
mate. Fantastic, mate. So, look, the 99 season, mate, just quickly on a personal level, mate, what were you doing in 1999? You would have been 21.
99 was my last year of uni, so I was doing my four-year teacher degree. It was the first time that they offered it at the specific university that I went to. Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose it. And that was my final year. So I'd finished my ATP and... that was my final year of uni and living life and enjoying that.
Living it up.
Yeah.
Mate, 99, still at primary school in Tambola.
Oh, boy.
I think I'm 11, so year six, mate. Really, really coming into my own in year six.
Yeah.
And I think, so in year six, I would have been about 150 centimetres. And then by the end of year seven, I'm 180 centimetres.
Wow.
So I grew a foot in a year. Yep. Pretty, yeah. And then for the preceding 5 years, people say, oh, mate, you've grown. I'm like, no, I haven't grown for the last 5 years. I grew heaps in 1 year.
Yeah.
And then that was it. So was it. Made some very interesting stuff that happened there. But, yeah, 1999, obviously, our pretty average season for the club and, you know, something that we won't forget. But, you know, winning the Derby was probably our silver lining in that. And actually flogging the Eagles is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the Eagles, I mean, after the Eagles players, they'd lost to Richmond the game before, and they're 11-4, and then they lose to Brisbane by 100 points.
Oh, my God.
Then they win, then they lose to Essendon, lose to Hawthorn, lose to Western Bulldogs, lose to St Kilda. Then they win the first qualifying final and they lose the second semi. Like they get.
How does that team that we saw Duck lose that many games?
I think they were just getting old, mate. I think that was the end of them. I think that was the end of their run. Yeah. It was interesting listening to John Worsfold commentate, mate. He wasn't bad.
No.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't
and bad. It is reasonable, I thought. Now, yeah. I know it's coming up and listen to questions, but some of those comments coming out of committee and was it McGowan?
Yeah, McGowan's. Oh, God. McGowan's interesting comments that he was making, mate. All right, it's on to your music quiz, mate.
Duck, before I do that, shout out, mate. The amount of research that you have done to put this together has been nothing short of inspirational, mate. So well done for your quizzes and also the other stuff, mate. So you guys don't know this, but he is the brains behind what we do here, mate. I just, I'll put stuff together, but he is the brain. So,
mate, it's a team. Teamwork makes the dream work, as you like to say.
Now, a bit of a change here, Duck. Mm. Now, what I've tried to do is make that, because personally I was getting a little down on listening to some of the songs that I really didn't care about. So I'll quickly run through the ARIA charts, 10 through to 1, the top 10, and then the albums. And then I'm actually going to play, at the time, 1991, Triple J Hottest 100 Top 10.
Ooh.
All right. So here we go. So the charts, the end of year charts for ARIA. Number 10, Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera. Number 9, Why Don't You Get a Job by The Offspring. Number 8, You Don't Impress Ooh. Me Much by Shania Twain. Is still
that's a banger.
Mighty fine. Number 7, Don't Call Me Baby, Madison Avenue. 6, Believe by Cher. Number 5, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, The Offspring.
Oh, two Offsprings.
Yes. Number 4, Last Kiss by Pearl Jam. Number 3, Blue, Eiffel 65.
Yes. What a banger.
Number 2, Baby One More Time by Britney Spears. Mm. And number 1 was Mambo Number 5 by Lou Vega. They were the top 10 songs in 1999.
Why didn't we do that? That's all in my wheelhouse.
Yeah,
look, that is right in my wheelhouse. Yeah, those kind of
true.
But not that I like those songs, but that's right. When year 6, watching a lot of Rage every Saturday morning before footy.
Yeah, that's right. All right, okay. Look, how about we just leave that there? Okay, so that I'm going to play for you Triple J's Hottest 100 Top 10 of 1999. Let's see if you can guess it. Starting at number 10. Let's see if I can get the sound right here, Duck.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm only going to play like 10 to 12 seconds of each here, mate. To make it easy.
We're not here for. This is a great song.
Good song, mate. Right?
Yeah.
That was number 10. Number 9. Number 8. Oh, this is right there, mate. I love this song, mate, I tell you.
Ooh.
Number 7 happens to be in Oz Top 5.
Well now, we call this the act of mating.
But number 6.
Several other very important differences between human beings and animals that you should know about.
I'll give you a little bit of that. Here we go. Number 5. Good concert. Shout out, Dano. I remember going to this. At Metro City, if you don't mind.
Metro.
Oh, it's good concert venue. Number 4. Number 3, because they're not actually on a decent stream, so the quality's not as great.
Still sounds pretty good, mate.
Here you go, see?
Oh.
Number 2.
Oh,
recently on Spicks and Specs.
She
likes making an appearance. Mm. And number one, classic. Shout out Heath Ledger. How you going? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. What's the name of that goddamn band? What is that?
Ah, boy. Now, are we cutting to a break? Just go straight into it.
Let's go into the answers, mate, because I think I've got a few of them.
Okay. What have you got at number 10?
What the... number 10's Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's scar tissue. Now, Oz, can I tell you a little story about this?
Go.
I got Californication on... I had it on cassette.
Oh!
Had it on cassette. Not the actual version of it. I'd recorded it, right?
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Off a CD.
Yeah.
I wore that tape out. Like, yep. I listened to it every day.
Good for
on
you.
The bus every day.
Good for you.
I get it as a CD.
Yep.
For Christmas.
Yep.
Listen to it maybe once.
Oh, boy.
Was like, I don't get it. I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was the ritual of being on the bus, on the listening.
Bus. Yeah.
Number 9 was a Pearl Jam song.
Correct. Last Kiss.
Last Kiss. Yep. Number 8, wouldn't have a clue.
Limp Bizkit, Nookie. I did it all for the nookie.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Number 7 was Rage Against the Machine.
Correct. Guerrilla Radio.
Number 6 was the Bloodhound Gang.
Correct. Called The Bad Touch.
Number 5, I don't know.
Placebo.
Ah.
Little alternative, but this was, I wrote many an essay to this particular album. Yes, that was Every You, Every Me.
Now, what would this be? FBS. Why did I write down that?
Fatboy Slim.
Fatboy Slim, that's it. Yeah. Praise You. Number 3, No Clue.
The Tenants, You Shit Me to Tears.
Oh.
Good song.
Number 2 is Killing Heidi.
Correct, Weir.
And number 1 is, I forgot, Powderfinger.
Yeah!
Jeez, it just blanked.
Oh, that's gold,
just blanked, mate.
That is
mate,
gold.
Powderfinger's weird because they obviously stretch a lot across a because they had like 3 really good albums, yes. If not more.
Yes.
And I love Vulture Street. That was my favorite Powderfinger.
Ah.
Yeah, because that came out in like 2005 or 6, and that was right in my wheelhouse. I was like, yeah man. Because I was like, Powderfinger, you know, My Happiness. And then I was like, oh, man, sick. Like, this is all great. Yeah. Like, all these songs are bangers. So,
I loved every single one of these songs to a degree. And back in the day, I used to love going to concerts.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, out of all of these, and surprisingly, out of all of these bands that played, definitely Pearl Jam has to rank as one of the best concerts I've been to down at the Burswood.
Ooh.
Doom. Nice. Classic.
And I've heard they put on a good show, Pearl
Jam. Yeah, they do. Oh, absolutely. And Powderfinger's performance at the Entertainment Center was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Something for Kate was actually their support act, nice. Which was actually pretty good.
I think I've seen, from what I remember, I think I've seen Powderfinger live. I saw Red Hot Chili Peppers in America. They played before the first LA Rams game back in LA at the Coliseum. They played like 5 songs. I was like, I didn't even know they were going to play.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know when you're like, oh, there's going to be a band before the Dockers or something, and it's actually Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're like, whoa. Rage Against the Machine, I saw it Big Day Out, but I was so far away. I was like, and I think they blew the sound. They were too loud or something like that. But everyone else, I hadn't seen anyone else. But, mate, that's a good list.
That's a very good list.
That's a good list of teams. All right, guys. Hey, next week's episode is the Demolition Derby. So you can watch that on YouTube. I'll put it up on Thursday, the link up on Thursday afternoon if you don't know how to get to it. But just Google search it on YouTube, or search it on YouTube. You'll find it. We're on at PurpleRain95 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'll keep the content up with that. Guys, we've got the jumpers, the best jersey. Sorry for calling it a jersey, very Americanized. I know some people are unhappy with that, but the best Guernsey or jumper or jersey, however you want to say it, we're inclusive here. We've got that knockout competition, so make sure you vote on that on Facebook and Instagram. And guys, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Spotify. We're everywhere you can find good podcasts. So thank you very much. Stay safe out there, guys. You know, do the right thing. Be sensible. Don't go overboard with the coronavirus stuff now that we have kind of flattened the curve. It's up to us as a collective to keep it flat.
Absolutely. It's good seeing you again, mate. I love
your
face.
Good to see you as well.
Love yous all. The